The Postcast, brought to you by Boyle Sports. Best odds guaranteed, available the day before racing on singles, multiples, online and in shop. Time to switch? Boyle Sports. This is betting.
Hello there and welcome along to this week's Racing Postcast. It is Monday the 9th of May. I'm Maddie Plerl and this week I'm joined by Graham Rodway and Paulie Hassett from Boyle Sports. It's been a key week running up to the Derby. We've had so many trials and a big revelation as well when Luxembourg, who was an anti-post fancy, was ruled out as well after some doubts this week. So there's been lots of movers in the market for the Kazoo Derby and Oaks, and we're going to run through some of the key races. We're going to find out more this week as we've got the Dante meeting coming up at York. So we're going to preview that as well before having a look at the Group 1 lock-in stakes on Saturday. So we'll give you a preview for that as well. So stay tuned. Let's start off at Chester's May meeting and back to Wednesday when we had the Boodles Chester Vase Stakes at Group 3. A small field, just the four runners, but the favourite was overturned and changing of the guard, ironically named really, because it was Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore who dominated on the Rudy last week. And this was a fairly convincing performance, G-Rod. How much more do you think he needs to show to get involved in a derby?
Yeah, I mean, in a normal derby, you'd say it'd be quite a way off, wouldn't you? But it was quite a disappointing week for the Derby last week, really, wasn't it? Not least, of course, Luxembourg getting ruled out. I mean, he was the standout star in the race. And now it's a race that really is lacking a star, isn't it? And it's there for the taking. I was impressed with him, but he just looks like a typical Ballydoyle horse, doesn't he? Stays uncomplicated, settles well. Is he outstanding? Don't think so.
Okay, so you'll definitely be trying to get him beat. Paulie, I thought for me, this horse really looked handled Chester well. I don't think Epsom will be a problem, but like Graham says, perhaps punters are going to be looking for a few more sort of sexier horses.
Yeah, I'd imagine they will. It looked, obviously, with only four runners, you've probably questioned the form a little bit. New London seemed to be struggling from a long way out. So, you know, it's hard to really take the form literally. For me, he'd still have a lot to prove.
Okay, New London, the 4-11 favourite, back in second, didn't seem to handle the track too well. In the previous race, the Wetherby's Bloodstock Pro Cheshire Oaks, a listed race over a furlong shorter, we had a reversal in form as Thoughts of June, again representing Aidan O'Brien and Ryan Moore, overcame Above the Curve, the 5-4 favourite. That bigger filly just didn't look to be getting to grips with the track until late on. And Thoughts of June again showed a really good attitude. She's from a good family, Moyglare stud owned, so you'd expect so. And another Galileo who's bound to make an impact in the Oaks. Were you surprised that she switched that form around, Paulie?
Yeah, very surprised. I think you mentioned there Thoughts of June showed a good attitude. For me, I thought the second's attitude was questionable. I thought she came to win a race. I wasn't in love with her head carriage, and she's probably one I'd be avoiding for the rest of the year.
Okay, so Above the Curve, one to avoid for Paulie. G-Rod, just talk about this race, because obviously Enable won it, I think, back in 2017 before going on to win the Oaks. It can be a good trial, but is this a bit further of the mark this year?
I thought it was okay, Maddie. I wouldn't be so harsh on the run. I can see what the argument was. I mean, she did appear to be ducking in a little bit, but I thought she went through the race nicely and was given a little bit too much to do by the rider, who I think was a bit overconfident. I think he thought he was just going to go and pick off this Thoughts of June in the same way that he had done previously, and it didn't quite work out that way. There's been people arguing that maybe Above the Curve didn't quite stay, but you know, she was only beating her neck, and she got right up alongside her. I thought the best horse finished second in the race, Maddie. Whether she's an Oaks horse is probably questionable. I'm not even sure she'll go there, you know, now after that. They may wait maybe for the Ribblesdale or even go back down in trip. But I certainly wouldn't fancy the winner in the Oaks. I thought the winner benefited from a superb Ryan Moore virtuoso ride, which was kind of like the theme of the week at Chester last week, wasn't he? He was absolutely riding the lights out, Ryan, and I thought that he stole the race, really.
Yeah, it was interesting. I don't think I've ever seen him so positive on so many horses in such a short space of time. Often he's sort of known for his hold-up tactics. I wonder if that was sort of discussed beforehand, you know, these horses are fit. You really need to go forward on all of them, because he did seem to be, even when he wasn't leading, he seemed to be up there with the pace, didn't he?
Yeah, he did. And the thing with the O'Brien horses is, of course, they are all very uncomplicated, straightforward horses, aren't they? They don't tend to pull, for example. You know, a lot of them tend to settle well and they stay well. So you can stick them in front and they're not going to take off with you. And I think that, yeah, they were definitely out to try and exploit any chinks in the armour. And like Chester is a real jockey's course, isn't it? As far as, you know, that is one of the tracks where jockeys can really make a huge difference if they know how to ride it. And Ryan's superb on sort of tight tracks like that. I mean, he's great at Chelmsford, which is a sort of tight left-handed track. He always seems to be in the right place around there. And Chester, very similar. I was following Franny Norton all week because I know that he's got an amazing record up there. He did eventually get his winner, I think, didn't he, in the last race. But I thought Ryan Moore was absolutely out of this world last week at Chester, different class.
Okay, if you're fancying Thoughts of June for the Oaks, she's a 14-1 chance with Boyle Sports above the curve, 12-1. But as Graham said, not necessarily sure that she's going to go there. As for the Derby, if you're interested in changing of the guard, he's a 7-1 shot generally. Let's talk about some of the other performers. On Thursday, we're going to go back to Chester and to the Home Serve D Stakes, again, listed class over a slightly shorter trip this, 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. And it was won by Star of India, another Ballydoyle colt. This one, again, by Galileo, finished behind Native Trail in the Craven Stakes and surely came on from that effort to dominate here. It was a really comprehensive victory. And I thought for me that the thing that stood out about this horse was his attitude. I'm not sure where they'll go with him next, Pordy.
Yeah, I'd imagine they'll head straight for the Derby, 12-1 now at the minute. But I'd have to agree with you, his attitude, you'd love the way his head carriage. He really put his head down and galloped, and I think he was value for more than the actual winning distance. He looked to win very easily to me. I think he's possibly, out of all the O'Brien horses, he might be the one that possibly is still a bit of value for the Derby.
That's interesting, because as you say, slightly bigger price at 14-1. Or so, but again, it just keeps on finding for pressure. Graham, Star of India, what was your assessment of him when you look at the other O'Brien horses that put their hat into the ring this week?
Yeah, I mean, I liked this performance. I thought it was visually quite nice the way that he went and did it. You know, he had to really stick his head down and battle, and he did, and he came through and won well, I thought, Star of India. Again, is he outstanding? No, but can he win an average year in a Derby? He might be able to, you know. It's very, very difficult to weigh up these Ballydoyle colts, because they all remind me of each other, really, when I look at them. You know, Star of India, we'll probably talk about some of the others who won over the weekend as well. But they're very sort of uncomplicated stay-in colts who get the trip well and try really hard. I don't think any of them are absolutely outstanding stars. It's like you've got four or five different horses and they just all look like the same horse to me. No one really gets me excited, Maddie. You know, it's a Derby. I want something to really excite me. And I'm just sitting there looking at these Ballygoodoyle colts thinking, oh, you know, I wish there was somebody a little bit more exciting. I wish Luxembourg was still there, you know.
Yeah, he certainly added a class angle to the race. There was a midweek gamble on Desert Crown for Sir Michael Stout. He's going to be among the favourites for the Dante Stakes. What are your thoughts on him? Does he get you a bit more excited?
The problem with him is I get the feeling that if Luxembourg and New London and Walker Stars, if they'd all done the business, I don't even think he'd be close to favouritism for the Derby. But of course, that is a big if, you know. He's obviously got a much better chance now than he did before. And the form of is it Nottingham? I think he won a maiden there, which of course Golden Horn won a maiden there too before going and win a Derby. The form is not that great, is it? I mean, several of those in behind him have been beaten since. Now, he did thrash them by 5.5 lengths. The time is okay without being spectacular. The thing that is exciting about him, I suppose, is he's trained by Sir Michael Stout, and they never do anything at two. Very rarely do they, Sir Michael Stout's runners. And this one's very lightly raced, just one run. He could be the Derby star. And it is crying out for a star. So I hope that he does go to the Dante and prove that he is the real deal. But he is far too short on what he's achieved. Far, far too short now.
I must admit, I was writing my Weekender column on this time last week on Monday, and I put him up at 33s. And by the time Wednesday came around, he was 16s. And now he's a lot shorter than that. Still only.
All your followers are on him, Maddie. That's what it is.
I don't think so. but yeah, I mean, after just one run, you'd like to see a horse achieve more than that than go off, you know, that price for a Dante or a Derby. Slightly different tack now. One of the good horses who we're going to see this week is Stradivarius in the Yorkshire Cup, and perhaps one horse who could be sort of baying for his crown of star stayer further down the line is Cleveland, who won the Chester Cup. Perhaps we're not accustomed to Aidan O'Brien succeeding in big British handicaps in this way, especially not a race like the Chester Cup, but he's got designs on some of the really good, valuable staying races. I heard the Melbourne Cup bandied around. Of course, he's going to come into question for the Gold Cup at Ascot. Remember, Trip to Paris won the Chester Cup before winning that race quite a few years ago now. Pordy, this was a funny race because there wasn't a lot of pace. My Fancy Arcadian Sunrise was one of them who were very keen in behind. And Cleveland, again, it was just Ryan Moore getting things spot on tactically. But he's clearly got a lot left to offer in these sort of contests.
Yeah, he's quite unexposed, especially at the Trip. And I suppose it was Ryan Moore, I think it was his ride of the week. I thought he was incredible on this lad. I don't know how he won on it, to be honest with you. He probably has a bit to find, really, to get to the next level. I mean, Coltrane and Rajinsky, Torrid, Arcadian Sunrise, even Falcon 8, like they're handicappers. Like, so he probably has another, he's a good bit probably to find to get to the next level, you know.
Yeah, he certainly does. It'd be interesting to see if he could find that, because Aidan often has these late maturing horses that he likes to go over staying trips. Kyprios, one of those, isn't he, who could graduate to the next level. Let's talk about Lingfield then. More classic trials on Saturday. The SBK Oaks Trial Fillies Stakes was won by a horse who isn't even in the Oaks, or wasn't at the time of the race. Rogue Millennium for Tom Clover and Jack Mitchell got the better of Mystic Wells in a thrilling finish. Some of the fancied horses here turned over. G-Rod Beltbuckle for John and Thady Gosden, and Emily Dickinson, who I thought looked the winner and then just didn't seem to find anything for the O'Brien team. So this was one race that they didn't win.
It was, yeah. It was a race where I felt the best horse on the day finished second. I thought that Mystic Wells set a very, very strong pace and did remarkably well to still almost win. When you consider that those who were in around early on were well beaten, horses like Emily Dickinson was right on her shoulder. Nikki was prominent. That was well beaten. I thought it was an amazing performance by Mystic Wells to keep going. But let's not forget that, you know, she went into the race with an official rating of just 90 and had won a handicap at Brighton on her previous start off 84. So, you know, we're probably not looking at a Group 1 filly in Mystic Wells. And I thought that the winner, Rogue Millennium, really probably benefited from a strong pace. She was held off the back of it and came home very strongly and got the better ride of the pair on the day. I thought the best horse finished second, but Rogue Millennium is more unexposed than Mystic Wells, so she might eventually work out to be the best horse of the lot. But don't think we're dealing with Group 1 form, probably not dealing with Group form even.
Okay, so you've taken sort of a bit of a dim view on that Oaks trial, and I must admit some of the protagonists, as I say, many of them weren't entered in the race. Surely they're going to supplement Rogue Millennium, who's around the 14-16 to one mark for the Epsom Oaks now. She's going to need to do better, but I thought it was worth a throw of the dice. Paulie, you're quite shrewd. If you owned her, would you go for something else, or would you go for the big one?
I'd probably go for something else, to be honest with you. Yeah, they've probably nothing to lose now. She's after winning a listed race, so she has a bit of black type. I don't know. I can't see her winning, to put it that way. I couldn't even see her getting involved. I thought it was a really weak race. I was just really surprised with how poor Emily Dickinson ran. I thought she was a lovely filly and had the potential to be top class, but obviously
what do you think happened to her? Because I thought she was looking like she was going to come and win, and then she looked to be a bit awkward. I don't know whether she lost her action or.
Well, I don't know. Like, she's won on good ground twice here. She's ran well on good ground twice here in Ireland, and maybe it was the good to firm. Maybe just the ground caught her out. Maybe it was her third run in a month. maybe it was that, but I'd be surprised if Emily Dickinson doesn't work out a little bit better than what she showed in Lingfield.
Okay, maybe the Ribblesdale at Royal Ascot will tell us more. Let's go to the previous race, the SBK Derby Trial Stakes. And again, just a four-runner field. One of the things I must admit, and we've not even got to the Derby Trial previously known as the Derrinstown yet, is with these races, the fields are so small. I wonder, do we need so many of them, Graham? Because they're not always the most informative, are they? They're not really sort of engaging competitive trials.
Aidan O'Brien certainly needs plenty of them, doesn't he? He won every one, didn't he, last week? So he loves it. And it's always been the way, isn't it? There's always been trial after trial after trial after trial. Don't have a huge problem with it. Obviously, a lot of small field events, but they are sort of unexposed horses who won't have run very often and need the experience before going into Epsom. And yeah, whether you want to have a huge field derby trial, questionable. It's a bit like when we had these, developmental chases, and people were saying, are they developmental? I think that's a little bit different in the fact that, you know, those chases, the one in question, the Sandown Intermediate Chase, for example, you know, that's for horses who are out of novice company. So they've already had a novice year. These horses really still are novices, aren't they? Very, very lightly raced horses who are learning their trade. So I don't think after one or two runs I can have too much of a gripe against lots and lots of small field events for horses who might go to the Derby. As long as they go to the Derby and we end up with a great Derby, that's all that matters to me.
I suppose it adds to the narrative a bit, you could argue as well, doesn't it? If you've got these strands of form and you don't know how the horses are going to perform against each other, it makes it more exciting for the Derby rather than perhaps having a better idea on the form. What do you think, Paudie?
Yeah, well, I suppose the easiest way to look at it is if they all run against each other before the Derby, there's not much point running the Derby, if you know what I mean. You know, you want them going to different trials and arriving there, you know, and then the Derby, you find out who the best three-year-old over a mile and a half is when you get to the Derby. You know, if you have less trials, you probably have a fair idea who it is before the Derby's run. So for me, I'd have no problem with it.
Perhaps this was just a bit of anomaly. If we're talking about horses who have run in trials, United Nations had already taken one in. He was fourth in the Blue Ribbon at Epsom, running on behind Nahani, a Godolphin horse. And he improved an awful lot from that at Lingfield to beat Walk of Stars, Natural World and Zechariah, the other three in the race. These top two, they outclassed the rest. I'm not sure if Walk of Stars will be able to reverse this form at Epsom. I think perhaps he could turn out to be the better horse, but for me, he looked very awkward in the closing stages, Graham. Would that be a worry?
Yeah, I think I agree with you, Maddie. He is the best horse in the race. I thought, again, another race where the best horse finished second, but he didn't know enough in the straight or actually at any point in the race, really. He was very slowly away. He had to be stoked along to keep up with the leaders, and then once they got in the straight, he was all over the place, left, right, punt. He looked punt drunk to me. He didn't know what he was doing. Walker Stars, he was a big gangly horse who needed the experience badly, and that would have to be a concern going around Epsom, wouldn't it? No doubt about that. With the camber up the straight, it'd be hard to see him charting a straight course, wouldn't it? But nevertheless, this was the by far the best time on the card, the Derby Trial. United Nations, again, another front-running Ryan Moore ride, wasn't it? Relentless from the front on a Ballydoyle galloper. Hard to know where he stands in the pecking order with the rest of them. It looked a very similar sort of horse to Changing of the Guard to me. Probably not an outstanding horse, but likely to go well in an average Derby, and at the moment it looks an average Derby.
Okay, that was United Nations. You've got to remember, Adiar, he reversed the form with the Third Realm in the Derby after finishing second in this race last year. So if you are a fan of Walk of Stars, I guess that gives you some hope. But before that, I think High Riders was the last one to do the double, wasn't he? So what do you think of Lingfield as a trial for Epsom, Graham? Because it is quite undulating, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a very similar turn into the straight, isn't it? They come down the hill, left-handed, sharp. You have to be well balanced. It's not the camber in the straight that there is at Epsom, of course. But Yeah, well, it's not been a bad trial in the past for the Oaks, has it? I think Annapurna's won the Oaks, didn't she, after running at Lingfield. So I think it's a good trial to have, and it's a good trial to have for Lingfield as well, isn't it? Because we get a lot of all-weather races run around Lingfield, but turf racing there is probably a bit underappreciated.
Okay, that was the SBK Derby Trial Stakes. We're going to move on to talk about Sunday now. And, well, out of nowhere, we had a new Derby favourite. We've not even mentioned him on this show yet. That horse is, of course, Stone Age. He's a 5-2 chance with Boyle Sports after winning the Derby trial at Leopardstown, a Group 3, formerly known as the Derrinstown. We know this race has a really good track record for producing top-class performers. I think the last horse to win this and then go on and win the Derby was High Chaparral. Stone Age, he looked very impressive in Making All under Ryan Moore for Aidan O'Brien. Where do you think this horse stood in the pecking order beforehand, Graham, and where do you think he stands now? Because it's a very muddling picture, as we've already sort of discussed with all the other O'Brien horses coming out and winning last week.
Yeah, I didn't fancy him at all, really, until suddenly they all started dropping by the wayside, and he was favourite for the Derrinstown. And you got to say, well, he must have a chance of throwing his hat into the ring. And I thought he won well, but I wasn't blown away by him. I know he won by 5.5 lengths, but he definitely got his own way in front there. And the runner-up Glory Days of Andrew Oliver, I think his name is. I was rated 98 going in. So say maybe around about a mark of 110 if you would take that literally. Maybe Glory Days has stepped up considerably, considering that French Claim's 107. We don't really know. We won't know, actually, until we get a bit more of a view on how good Stone Age is once he goes into the Derby. I wasn't as impressed as some. He's been backed into quite a short price favourite now for the Derby. But I didn't see anything different from him to what I saw from Changing of the Guard, to what I saw from United Nations, to what I saw from Star of India. Again, all I saw was a solid Ballydoyle horse who was going to go to the Derby and run very well, and he may well win it, but I didn't see anything outstanding. He didn't get me excited. I didn't think I'd seen a star, Maddie. Did you?
No. I must admit, when I saw the market this morning, I thought that was quite surprising just how short he'd gone. Was that something to do with just the connections and almost recency bias, do you think, Pordy? 5-2 now, Stone Age.
I thought he was very impressive. I thought it was a monster run. I think the big thing with Stone Age is he seems to have left his two-year-old form well behind. He looks to really improve from 2 to 3. He was really well backed yesterday. I'd say they had a fair idea what they had. I personally wouldn't be rushing to back him at the price he is now, but at the same time, the way the form is stacking up and the way things are shaping up, he does look the one they'll have to beat to me.
Okay. G-Rod, you've been a bit sort of lukewarm on plenty of these horses. Let's take a final sort of run through the Derby and see if any bigger prices tickle your fancy. Because I guess if you are doubting the ones towards the head of the market, that represents an opportunity. So we've got Stone Age at 5-2, Desert Crown at 6s, Changing of the Guard the same price, Pispadil 7s, United Nations 12 along with Star of India, 14s for Point Lonsdale, Walk of Stars and Aidan. Westover and Cash both at 16-1 and Nahani at 25s. Out of those, who are you most interested in?
I don't know if he's going to go there, but I did like the horse that won the Sandown Derby trial, the Westover. He's Rafe Beckett's horse. I thought that he travelled through that race nicely, and I thought that he would have a chance. And let's not forget that the Guineas is traditionally the best trial for the Derby, and of course Iden was fourth in him, so I mean those would be the two that would interest me at the moment. They're both big double figure prices. The question with them both is, when are we going to see them both, and are they both going to end up there? But if they do, I think they've got as good a chance as some of these horses of Aidan O'Brien's that are a lot shorter than them in the market.
Okay. That is the Derby. We're going to talk more about trials for that race, the Dante coming up this week, and the Oaks. Emily Upjohn, one of the big fancies for Epsom, is going to take in the Musidora Stakes on Wednesday. We'll discuss it after this.
Are you football crazy? Then Racing Post's new podcast could be just for you. Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs brings all of the best football betting insight from Racing Post's top football tipster. As well as that, Mark will be joined each week by a friend from the betting community to guide listeners through their best bets. Simply search Mark Langdon's Bet Clubs on your podcast app of choice and listen today.
Hello there. Welcome back to this Racing Postcast. We're going to go to Wednesday at York now and have a preview of the Dante meeting. Some of the feature races anyway. The 3 o'clock is the Duke of York Clipper Logistics Stakes. It's a group two and several smart sprinters reappearing, or at least onto our shores here. Notably Dragon Symbol, who's changed stables from Archie Watson to Roger Vary. And this is a horse who had really solid form in some of the big events as a three-year-old last year. How do you think he's going to start his season off, Graham? Are you taking him on, or do you think he'll be tough to beat?
He was very unlucky last year, wasn't he? Very, very unlucky not to win a Group 1. I think he did finish first past the post in one, didn't he? And then lose it at Royal Ascot. He should go close, shouldn't he? But he went close in a lot of races last year without winning, and that would be a slight concern. I wonder what they were planning for Emiratiana after he obviously won the Haydock race last year. He was well beaten a couple of times in Maidan, but knowing Kevin Ryan, he'll have him absolutely revved up for this race at York, you would have thought, because it's his home track, isn't it? The problem with this race is that it's one of those races where it's going to be a stepping stone for so many horses going on probably towards the Golden Jubilee. So who's quite going to be right on the day is probably going to be more important than who is actually the best horse in the race. Tricky, tricky race, I thought, Maddie.
Okay, let's mention some of the others. Dragon Symbol is the 130 favourite with Boyle Sports. Minzal at 7-2, Happy Romance 5-1, Rohan at 8, Vadream at 9, Emiratiana, who Graham mentioned there, at 10-1 shot. He's got to carry a big weight in this race. Paulie, how do you see it? Because it's hard to sort of tie in the international form from many of these.
Yeah, I suppose on form, I suppose Dragon Symbol looks the one, but you'd have to question. He had a lot of racing. He's had a lot of racing last year and been, you know, he's a few too many twos and threes behind his name and not enough ones for my liking. I thought Minzal would probably be the best of these going forward for the rest of the season. Obviously, his first run of the season is a bit of an unknown, but I think potentially he could be the best of these and I'd probably take a chance on him if I was to have a bet.
Good to see him back this year as a four-year-old, isn't it? He showed a lot of promise and had a bit of time out due to injury. So good to see Owen Burrows represented by Minzal in that 3 o'clock. The 3:35 is the race I mentioned before the little break we had. It's the Tattersall's Musidora Stakes, a Group 3, 1 mile, 2.5 furlongs. It was won last year by Snowfall, who went on to win the Oaks, of course, in devastating fashion at Epsom. Very, very short price favourite in Emily Upjohn. Not silks that we'd necessarily be familiar with, but this horse made a deep, deep impression in a novice stakes at Sandown. This is going to be another step up, but I'm not sure about the quality of opposition, Paulie. 4-5 favourite with you now, Emily Upjohn.
Yeah, to me, it looks pretty short. Obviously, she was very good the last day, but in Sandown, but you'd have to question the form. I think the second was Andrew Balding's. That's ran very bad since. I'd be more inclined to take a chance on the Godolphin filly Life of Dreams, obviously an impressive winner of her maiden, and just at the prices, I think she's around 5-2. I'd probably just pitch with her, just in terms of I thought she looked a filly with a lot of potential.
Okay, so with a rating of 99, Paulie's going to take on Emily Upjohn. Graham, I was quite interested in two for Chester, and they weren't declared, Luna Dorada and Ching Shi. So they'll be the two that I'll be keeping my eye on here, although I may need to watch the weather on that one. How do you assess this race?
Yeah, Emily Upjohn was very, very impressive at Sandown. She finished the race very strongly, but she beat absolutely nothing. But she did beat him by 9.5 lengths. So she is a very, very difficult filly to assess. Unbeaten, we just don't know how good she is. I hope she's as good as she looked, because she looked a star. But I thought the outsider had a chance. Ching Si for David Simcock. Like you say, might want soft ground. Madame Chang was the dam. Lope de Vega, the sire. Always a little bit concerned, though, when you see the hood, isn't it, going on?
Yeah, I questioned that. I didn't like the look of that.
Always makes you think they're going to pull, doesn't it? Especially in a small field. It's a brave man, of course, to back against the Aidan O'Brien horse at the moment, out of the Algarve, the way he's going in. They're going in left, right and centre, and you know, that's beautifully bred as well by American Fair out of Imagine, who, of course, was a top, top class filly. It's a very, very exciting race. I hope Emily Opjohn wins, but I definitely wouldn't back her at 10 to 11, and I wouldn't back the Godolphin filly either. I'd be looking at the Algarve and Ching Shi, possibly in running with Ching Shi, as long as she doesn't, you know, because I want to see if she wants to pull her head away first.
Okay, so Graham will be keeping an eye on two of those horses to take on the red hot favourite Emily Upjohn. That's sure to have a strong bearing on the Oaks. Good to see a superstar emerge, though. I hope we see a big performance in that race. The following day on Thursday, we've got more group action at 2:25. It's the Albasti Equiworld Dubai Middleton Stakes, and a horse who was only really narrowly touched off in the Group 2 Dahlia Stakes at Newmarket on the Roly Mile by a nose. Dreamloper beat Ville de Grace. Hopefully this filly is going to get her victory. She was really progressive last season, but she's going to come up against two really interesting Irish fillies, both owned by Newton and a stud farm, potentially anyway, at this stage. Gerlines and Miss Jessica Harrington are represented by Thunderkiss and Forbearance. Noon Star, who won on her reappearance at Nottingham, is bidding to get her career back on track, and a few other interesting entrants down below. I guess Ville de Grace is still progressing, and she's known that she's in very good form, so that might explain why she's at the top of the market, Pordy.
Yeah, absolutely, and obviously she has the run under her belt as well, so she comes here fit and well. Her form probably stacks up probably the best of these. Thunderkiss was very good in Cork, but you'd wonder how strong a race it was the same day. Forbearance, of course, comes here fresh, hasn't had a run. So I suppose just in terms of taking boxes, like Ville de Grace seems to be the one, doesn't she?
She does. I find this race quite a hard one to assess, especially we've not got those final declarations yet, so we don't know exactly what's going to happen. Technique behind Noon Star, that was quite an interesting run last time out, Graham, but I think I'll be keeping my powder dry on this one. What did you make of it?
Yeah, I thought Technique should have beaten Noon Star last time at Nottingham. I thought that, I don't think Rob Pombe thought he was going to win. And then once he really got stuck into her, I think she had a lot more under the tank than he thought. And she just ran out of time, couldn't get to Noon Star. She's been very disappointing, Noon Star, this last season. Obviously went into the Oaks, was well fancied for the Oaks, then went into the Ribblesdale, I think, as a hot favourite and got beat. Ville de Grace, yeah, I didn't think it was a great race, that race at Newmarket. And they all finished in a heap, didn't they? Dreamloper getting back up to beat her by a nose with Edbira just behind them. So wouldn't be rushing to back her. Gerlions obviously trains Thunderkiss, and his record in Britain is appalling. It's a very, very difficult race to weigh up. Maybe Lilac Road could be the one. I mean, was well beaten in that race at Newmarket behind Ville de Grace and Dreamloper, but it was right out the back, and that wasn't the place to be in quite a muddling little race. And previously had some decent form last season, beat Technique. So William Haggis, yeah, he's usually the man to follow, isn't he, this week at York? He loves a winner at York. So, yeah, at this stage, I thought Lilac Road was the most interesting in the race.
Okay, one of the races that we are going to get really excited about is the 3:35, the Albasti Equiworld Dubai Dandy Stakes. It's a Group 2. We've already mentioned Desert Crown in passing. He's not been seen in 190 days, but he is the 7-4 favourite with Boyle Sports for this. Magisterial in the Bjorn Nielsen Stradivarius colours for Frankie Dettori, John and Thady Gosden, a 5-2 chance. El Bodegon for James Ferguson, bit of a wild card, this horse. Won a grade one, group one at the back end of last season in France over 10 furlongs. So this trip will be no issue for him if he runs. Point Lansdale for Aidan O'Brien again, a 5-1 shot, the same price. Walk of Stars, don't know whether he's going to take in this race after running at Lingfield. Masakela, Royal Patronage, Bluegrass, White Wolf, the others, and right the way down to some of the outsiders. this traditionally is probably the best Derby trial, isn't it? The last horse to win both was Golden Horn in 2015, but we've had some really high-class horses win it since then, notably Roaring Lion 2018 and, of course, Hurricane Lane, who went on to win the Irish Derby last year. Pordy, I mean, lots of horses have gone on to win this race and win the Derby. Why do you think it is that they do so well at York? Why is this the number one trial to watch?
I suppose York is just a really good track, a very fair track, and form usually stacks up from there. If you had a really nice three-year-old, I suppose York is probably a nice place to go with him. You know, I suppose Linkfield, like, obviously you're running in Linkfield to get used to the undulations. You're running in Chester, you know, you get used to turning and the undulations. But I suppose if you have a real nice horse, you'd probably go to York with him, wouldn't you? It looks a really, really good renewal again this year. It looks a real interesting race. Plenty coming here with big reputations. For me, I think it's a race the market could have wrong. I think Desert Crown, albeit comes with a big reputation, but still has a lot to prove. I thought Magisterial of Gosden's was opposable as well. I thought it was two weak enough races that he won. I thought the value in the race in a big way was El Bodegon of James Ferguson's. I thought that was a massive run at the back end last year. I know he said Stone Age improved considerably from two to three, but even with that, he's Stone Age two lengths behind him. Goldsboro, another two lengths back in third. Buckaroo, who was a very impressive winner there lately in fourth. It's really, really strong form. And I think the rest of them will have to go to a fair level to get to his level, you know.
I'm really excited about seeing this horse by Kodiak. So you wouldn't necessarily expect him to be running in races like this, but he is a brother to Best Solution, who was a Caulfield Cup winner, a Group 1 winner in Australia, El Bodegon. We haven't seen him yet, so he has that question mark, but was really solid and really brave and determined last season. So I think he could be hard to pass. I like the sound of Paulie's argument there, Graham. Has that got you worried?
Not really, no. I mean, it's all soft ground form, isn't it? Which would be a slight concern. I did fancy Goldspur to win the race that he was in at Sandown a couple of weeks ago, and he was no match for Westover. I would like to see James Ferguson do well. He was a bit unlucky, wasn't he, in the 1,000 guineas with Mizen Sen getting pulled out on the day. So be good for the yard to have a top class colt. But yeah, it's an interesting pedigree, isn't it? As far as a derby goes, Kodiak out of a King Mambo mare, but stayed mile and a quarter as a 2 year old, so shouldn't have any problems getting the distance. I like the John and Fady Gosden horse, Magisterial, very, very well bred by Frankel out of Hoity Toity. She was related to Lily Langtree and some top class fillies. So I think that Magisterial's got a big chance. But yeah, of course, we all want to see Desert Crown go and do the business and throw his hat into the Derby ring. That, of course, this is Sir Michael Stout's favoured trial, isn't it? He ran Workforce in it. He usually runs his better colts in the Derby.
Sharastani both won it, didn't they? Before going
that's right.
To
so yeah, he likes this race. That's one of the reasons why it's such a good trial, isn't it? There's certain trainers, a lot of the top trainers like it, don't they? So they run their best horses in it. And yeah, are we going to see another Sharastani or North Light? I mean, North Light was North Light reminds me of a lot of those Ballydoyle horses, in that he was just a sort of dour stayer who was uncomplicated. I wonder how Desert Crown is going to compare with the stout greats of the past. We're going to find out, aren't we?
We are. Hurricane Lane very much in that sort of model, wasn't he? I mean, clearly very, very talented. I don't mean to undersell it by any means, but also a very strong stayer and just hard knocking and not afraid to sort of get down and get in a battle. So really looking forward to that, Dante, on Thursday. Friday, we're going to see a horse in the same colours as Graham's fancy Magisterial Stradivarius. He's coming back to the Knavesmire, a track at which he's unbeaten. Hopefully we'll see him in the 3:35, the Paddy Power Yorkshire Cup Stakes. Got to remember as well, the prize money at York this week is going to be really, really good. So hopefully that's rewarded by some good fields. Stradivarius, I don't think anyone truly thinks this horse is as good as he was a couple of years ago. He's an 8 year old now, but still performing at a pretty good level. And we're going to see whether he comes up against Trushan. Alan King and that team probably hoping for some rain. Scope, another progressive stayer. He won a grade one when he was last seen in France at the end of last year. Kyprios, I mentioned earlier, for Aidan O'Brien is in there. And then you've got the likes of Tashkan, Thunderous, Wordsworth and Search for a Song as well. This could be an absolute cracker. I just hope they turn up, Pordy.
Yeah, it looks the makings of a very good race. Stradivarius, like, coming back to a track he loves, but he's not getting any younger. Been beat by Trushan in his last two starts. Trushan probably looks the pick of the stayers now, you'd have to say. Obviously, any rain would be a help for Trushan. So probably a lot would depend on what way the ground turns up on Friday, you know.
Absolutely. And I guess one horse who would come into that equation is a horse that I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, Scope, Graham. Disappointed in some of the Derby trials last year, but Rafe Beckett got him back on an even keel towards the tail end of the season in October. He won at Ascot and then won that pre-Royal Oak Longchamp. Are you sort of looking towards the new guard here, or do you think Trushan, Stradivarius has still got what it takes?
Trushan is head and shoulders above them, I think, at the moment. He's right at the peak of his powers. And I think if he turns up on his best form, then he will definitely win. And I think he'll win wherever he runs this season. But of course, he won't run when there's fast ground going on. So we might not see him through the middle of the summer. We didn't see him in the Gold Cup last year. We didn't see him at Glorious Goodwood. He didn't turn up at York for the Lonsdale Cup. So I'd be very sceptical about whether we're going to see him in the Yorkshire Cup, but at least we did see him a couple of times towards the end of the season when he confirmed his superiority, and he looked good when he came back and he easily beat Quickfawn at Nottingham, and Quickfawn almost won the Sagaro Stakes at Ascot next time, and he was giving Quickfawn weight that day. So I think we're dealing with one outstanding stayer here in Trushan and a lot of decent horses behind him who need to step up to get to him. But that's not to say they can't. Of course, Scope is only 4 years old and really only found his feet over staying trips last year towards the end of the season. So the problem for Scope, of course, is he appears to need soft ground, which whenever he gets soft ground, Trushan will turn up against him. So he's really going to have to be at the top of his game. And it's going to be a completely different race, depending on which way the ground goes. You know, if it goes onto the far side of good, I would expect half of these won't run, and it might well end up being yet another Stradivarius procession. However, if we do get a little bit of cut, it could be one of the races of the season, because Kyprios is in there as well, Aidan O'Brien's horse, and he's been well back for the Ascot Gold Cup. Very, very lightly raced horse. Beat his sister last time out, Search for a Song. He's also a brother. He's a brother to Falcon 8, who won the he was the Chester Cup winner, wasn't he? I think he finished fifth there on Friday. So there's loads of scope for him to improve over further. It's an absolutely fantastic race that Trushan will win if the ground comes up soft. But if it doesn't come up soft, we might be disappointed. But I hope not.
I'm just looking forward to seeing Stradivarius back. I mean, you can crab him all you like, but I think it's just so brilliant that we've got an eight-year-old stayer who's just defined a generation of horses like him, really, hasn't he? And he's got a huge fan base. I don't think you can sort of oversell that these
days. Oh, yeah. He's a great horse, isn't he, Stradivarius? Yeah, and he's so consistent as well. Even though he is not quite the force of old, he's still running to a fairly high Group 2 stroke Group 1 level, isn't he, every time he turns up. I mean, we've been rating the stayers, Keith Amilrose, Robbie and myself, and yeah, we have him running to like 119, 118, 170 virtually every time he turns up. You can just set your watch by him.
We'll see how he runs in the Yorkshire Cup then. One of the themes so far of this season has been Godolphin versus Ballydoyle, and that's going to be another talking point when it comes to Saturday's Ashercab Lock-In Stakes, the Group 1. It's Mother Earth v Real World, but they're both going to have to go some to beat Baid. We'll talk about it in just a moment.
The Racing Postcast is supported by Racing Post Members Club. Featuring award-winning journalism, expert tips, and renowned form study tools, this is the only racing subscription you need to stay ahead of the field. If you're a new customer, you can use the code POST22, that's POST22, to get 50% off your first 3 months of Members Club Ultimate. That works out at just £17.48 per month. to unlock all of the premium features, and it renews at full price thereafter. Head to racingpost.com/postcast for all of the details and to claim.
All eyes will be on Newbury at 3:20 on Saturday as the real superstar from last season, Bayeed, returns at 4. Unbeaten in 6 starts last year, including 2 Group 1s. He looks something really out of the ordinary for William Haggis and Jim Crowley. Owners Shadwell have trimmed down their interests in the sport, but Bayeed, of course, could be the big name to carry them through the season. He's a 4-9 shot to win this lock-in stakes. As I mentioned just before we broke off there, Ballydoyle represented by Mother Earth, who's a 9-2 chance after getting her form and her season off to a winning start at the current Group 3 company. Real World is Godolphin's representative. He's been off travelling. He's going to have to get back in the winning groove, but could well do that now back on turf. Richard Hunt and Andrew Boulding both have chinned it alcohol-free, and then new mandate Sunray Major, Sir Busker and Etonian make up the 9 in this current field. So could be potentially a really small field. How do you think things are going to work out tactically, G-Rod?
Yeah, it could be a tactical race, couldn't it? That's for sure. Mother Earth is just one of these tough, genuine Ballydoyle horses that we've been talking about the whole podcast. She just comes out there and goes out on her shield if she gets beat, and she certainly takes all sorts of races all over the world. She's an absolute star, Mother Earth. Very, very tough, but you need a bit more than toughness when you're racing against a horse as good as Bayeed, don't you? Because he does look like the second coming, doesn't he? He looked absolutely superb, completely unbeaten. We don't know how good he is. He made short work of Palace Pier last year, and we all know how good Palace Pier was. Probably the most exciting horse coming into the flat season this season. Certainly the most exciting older horse to look forward to. And I hope and expect that he will make short work of this field before, no doubt, going on to Royal Ascot.
If there is a chink in his armour, what do you think it could be? Because although he won, he wasn't super impressive when he won the Prix de Moulin in September.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah, and when he won at Ascot, I thought he was fairly keen. He can be a little bit over exuberant at times, and of course that is, he's running here first time up after 210 days off. He might well be a little bit fresh if you're looking for reasons to take him on at 1-2, but he still won despite racing keenly through Ascot last year, so I wouldn't be rushing to hit the pink button, that's for sure.
Pordy, how do you assess the lock-in? It has been a bit of a disappointing division, hasn't it, in the last couple of years? Palace Pier was very good, but often it can lack a bit of depth. Do you think that's a similar theme this year?
Possibly. Bayeed probably just looks a fair way ahead of the rest, to be honest with you. So you could just see him chasing his coattails for the year. You can say what are the chinks in his armour? He ran a bit free, but he just keeps winning, and it's hard to see any of these troubling him. I think Palace Pier was primed to give him a big race. I think he'd done plenty wrong that day and still beat Palace Pier. I think Palace Pier would be a sharp price if he was in this race also. So for me, Bayeed will just win.
Yeah, not expecting Mother Earth to give him much of a race. One we haven't mentioned, who I think is quite interesting, is Alcohol Free. Interesting at Sandown on her reappearance in that Bet365 mile. Looked keen, looked a bit awkward. She's very quirky, but she's got a lot of talent. And of course, as a filly, would be getting weight off Bayeed here. I mean, I'm not saying that we expect her to beat him, Graham, but do you think she can win another Group 1 this season, potentially?
Definitely, Maddie. Yeah, definitely. She is, I think, an underrated horse, Alcohol Free. She obviously has won Group 1s at 2 and 3. I think she won a Group 1 at 2 anyway. And
Chiefly Park winner, wasn't she?
That's true. I think so, yeah. I thought when she was, it, did she win at Goodwood last year? There was a race, wasn't there, where she won a Group 1 last year. She beat the Colts.
It's the 6 Stakes.
Yeah. And I thought then she looked really, really good, and that is her problem. Like you summed her up beautifully, I thought, Maddie, in that she's a bit quirky, isn't she? She's a bit funny. She has her good days and her bad days. She can be a bit three sometimes. But when she puts it all together, she really is a good horse, and she's got a really smart turn of foot. And when she gets weight off of the colts, I think that she's going to be a player in all the big Group 1 races over a mile that Baye doesn't turn up for. So I definitely think she could win a Group 1. And there's plenty of opportunities in Just Filly's company as well, isn't there? Maybe the Falmouth could be her race. We'll see in time. But I do like her as a horse. I think she's got a huge amount of talent, but she don't always show it.
Her best runs kind of seem to come when there's a bit of juice in the ground, seemingly. You know, if you look at her best performances, it always seems to be a bit soft in the ground.
Yeah, filly by no nay never. So that's presumably where the speed comes from. I quite like the shout of those fillies only Group Ones. They could be for her. Of course, she won the Coronation Stakes on heavy, as Paulie said. Clearly likes a bit of cut underfoot. Now, really good action this week. We're looking forward to it at York and then Newbury on Saturday, but plenty elsewhere as well. Who are your naps? Paulie, I'll let you go first. You often pick one out at some obscure meeting. What have you got your eye on this week?
Well, I think the horse of the Dante, El Bodegan, I do like him. I think he's very fair price. If he got any rain, I'd be a lot stronger again on him. But one in a handicap hurling Clonmel on Thursday, a horse of John McConnell's called Buto. He'd been off the boil and he showed a lot more the last day in Downpatrick and are finishing third. That was over 2 miles. He stayed on strong. He's up to 2-3 in Clonmel Thursday. I think he should go very close.
Thank you very much. And just for those who are interested, El Bodegan a 25-1 shot for the Derby. So if you do think he's going to win the Dante, it could be quite interesting. That one. Graham, what about you?
Yeah, if the rain comes, I think True Shen will definitely win the Yorkshire Cup on Friday at York. But yeah, my best bet of the week probably runs at Lingfield on Tuesday in the 7:15 there, called Avarice for John Butler and Sylvester D'Souza. Last time out at Wolverhampton, kept on really strongly to win a mile and four handicaps. Only gone up £3. I thought it was valued for a lot further than the winning margin of a neck, and is up a furlong in trip around Lingfield Sharp Track. I think that will suit Avarice in the 7:15 Lingfield on Tuesday.
Excellent. Thank you both for your contributions this week, and I hope you have a great week and enjoy the action up at York. Bruce and the team will be back on Friday to give you a heads up for the weekend's action. That Lockinge card, definitely one that they'll be looking forward to. As always, please make sure to rate, review and subscribe. Please let me know on social media if you ever have any questions for the guys, and I can try and ask them for you as well. We'll see you again in a week's time.